Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyze the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show.
Welcome. Hello. Hello. It's the One Show, the podcast that worms its way into the One Show like one of those little parasitic freshwater vampire fish you sometimes hear about that swim up the penis if you go for a wee in a foreign river. Well, every weekday evening when the One Show does its toilet on your television, we swim up it to see what we can find inside. I am John Holmes and we're here once again to take you by the ears and lead you through the green sofas and obscure films about canal clearance and or road signs that form the spine of the nation's favourite flagship TV magazine show, after all the others. This week, Matt loves a parrot, some four-year-olds are placed in mortal danger for an experiment, and Michelle Gale couldn't give a toss about magic. Joining me to throw stones at the One Show's garage door this week are the writer, critic, host of the Always There Howard's Way podcast, Julia Rayside, and he's back, the man, woman, non-specific One Show show regular. To be honest, he can identify however he likes. It's Mark Haynes.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, welcome. Welcome one and all. So, You've watched it before, of
yes,
course.
Yes, thank you. I have, yes.
And I've made you do it again, Julia.
Thank you.
Where did you start? Monday?
That was good.
Well, you say good. I mean, it started. It started.
You've already mentioned my favourite bit, which is where they try to link from an item about her talking about playing Hermione in the Harry Potter play and saying, do you like magic? And she's like, not asked. And then they say, well, Michelle isn't the only one who really loves magic. Well, I mean, she doesn't really love... And there's something about magic. It was
good
beautiful.
Because Angelica Bell went off auto-cue piece to save the item in that way, because the auto-cue was clearly said, because the chat was supposed to go, you're in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Michelle, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're playing Hermione, and let's have a chat about magic. And as you rightly say, she just said, I don't really care.
She's like, I don't mind it.
It's worth saying as well, she when they said, now, you know, tell us about the magic. And she said, oh, you asked me about this in the dressing room and I specifically told you I can't do it. And I thought, oh, Matt Baker's like one of those Woodward and Bernstein. He goes out there, he finds it and he goes, yeah, sure, I won't ask. And I'm thinking, they go, right, Michelle Gale, tell me about magic, you cow.
So how are you getting on with the magic side of things?
Magic's not my calling, Matt. Which he knows I told him in the dressing room, don't mention the magic.
But Belle did pull it round, because the autocue obviously said, Michelle's not alone in being fascinated by magic.
It.
As Kate Thornton has been finding out.
Yeah.
And Angelica just came in, she went...
Michelle's not the only, not alone in being fascinated. Well, you're not really fascinated in magic, as Kate Thornton has been finding out.
Yes! You've gone off all to give.
Angelica Bell, she knows what this is. This is the one point of the year where Alex Jones is away. So Angelica Bell knows...
suggesting she's pregnant every year.
This is the bit where Angelica Bell goes, I need to make every moment count.
And she does. She has a three-week window. They're not even letting her do the whole pregnancy. They're letting her do 3 weeks.
I think she's thinking, if I do well in the 3 weeks, I'll get another three.
She's like Partridge.
Completely.
Totally.
Her eyes, I think though, I read it as her, she just seems like angry for the whole time she's presenting the show. So any moments of like, you know, to micro expressions where somebody else is talking and it cuts back to her, she looks like she's fucking furious. Yeah. I want to know why.
She did it all though, because there was a point where she was talking in an episode, I think Wednesday's hour-long episode. She was talking to Vicky McClure, and Vicky McClure has just made a documentary
about her
grandmother who died. And Angelica Bell, I think recently her grandmother has died, and she began crying on air.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, she is doing it all.
You have these people.
Oh, mate, I know.
Yeah. And they're such a huge pivotal force in your life. And then all of a sudden, they just don't see.
When was the last time Alex Jones cried? Yeah. No, this is real can't-miss television.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who else is aware of Alex... what's her name?
Alex Jones.
Alexander Graham Bell.
It's only right that he come back and do his stint, frankly.
Angelica Bell.
We're watching this shit.
Angelica Bell. There's somebody who else has got their eye on her taking over this job, and that's Alex Jones. Because on the first show she did on Monday... Matt mentioned, she said, you've seen Alex, haven't you, today? And she went, yes.
Yes.
Alex came round, she said, and it actually almost made me late for work.
You're here for a few weeks, aren't you?
3 weeks, looking forward to it. Alex actually popped round this morning, nearly made me late for work.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm sure she's watching at home. Hey. Hiya.
And I thought, Alex...
See, I told you.
You are a bad bitch. You are trying to fuck up. Oh, if you step up to the king, you best not miss.
That's why she looks
angry.
Come
on, just pop it round. Why don't you sit down for 3 fucking hours and miss your cue? Well done.
I'm going to squash you against the wall with my pregnant belly. See if you can escape.
Don't mess with the Jones.
This is what's going on behind her eyes. She knows she's on a knife edge. She's for the whole show. It's really interesting. Just watch her face and no one else's. She's angry.
Yeah.
She wants it.
Because there was audible evidence of her gearing up to do the show. I think it was Tuesday. So the first thing that happened, it was an outside shot to set up the show where they put the word one in big letters on the forecourt. Mm-hmm. And then over that, before they cut to inside, you just heard her breathe in really deeply.
Oh.
Because obviously
slap herself in the face and go, come on!
You can fucking do it! Come on! That pregnant bitch is not coming back.
Welcome to the one show. I'm going to tear this a new arsehole. Hi! Let's burn this motherfucker down! Please welcome the Gay London Men's Chorus.
Exactly what it was. Oh, but it was wonderful. There were two brilliant beginnings this week.
Mm.
And I know we're flitting about here, but that's fine. Was the Kids from Fame episode.
Oh, amazing.
That was my favourite. Matt Baker in that opening sequence. What? Jesus Christ.
Oh, sorry. The fuck out of that.
You didn't know I used to be an amateur gymnast. Watch this fucking spin. Came serious face as well.
It was astonishing.
Serious face.
And he was going for it. He gave it the full like West End Wendy kind of, you know, slut drop, flick, flick, flick. And then he sat down and did the whole interview and he wouldn't take off his leg warmers or his headband. Like, I swear to God, he'd have kept them on for the whole show.
I watched that and I thought, there are going to be women of a certain age across the Shires who had a very tempestuous night's sleep after that, watching Matt as a 1980s sort of, what's the terrible play backstage. I said terrible. It's really good. Yeah. What's it called?
Oh, what, Chorus Line?
Chorus Line.
Yeah, yeah.
That,
one
that combination
singular.
Of. Oh, imagine Matt Baker in Chorus Line. Just that beautiful spotlight. And here I am, the big director. It was a weird wet dream.
But there was a strange. The beginning when they did come on Dancing to Fame,
And like through the tunnel of the rabble made the
Fame
people
fans.
Tunnel.
Yeah, yeah, and then that, and then they twirled about a bit, and then. So much to talk about. The bit with he had his headband on and his leg warmers.
Yeah.
But during the film about Fame, he took them off.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So they'd gone.
So someone told him to put them back on.
I don't know what happened because they were gone, and then obviously as the program went on, and they were talking about some just more serious subjects. But Angelica Bell was still wearing hers.
She wouldn't take off her wristbands.
No, wristbands.
Yeah, she got these just like them. No, I keep them. I like them.
Weird coloured wristbands.
Sweatbands used to be massive, didn't they?
They did.
I haven't seen them for years. Mm-mm. I used to have some Watford FC sweatbands, and you basically you'd do your judo for 10 minutes, and you'd be overjoyed because it meant you could use your sweatband, which was just a way of having a small towel on your wrist. It's hard to remember.
They became such a status symbol.
This used
though.
To be a big part of the UK's manufacturing industry. The manufacture of sweatbands. It's died now. There must be people out there living in big houses who made all their money from the sweatband industry.
Sweatbands. I know.
They were huge status symbols at my school. Like, I wasn't allowed anything with a label on it, and I wanted Nike ones. Yeah. And I wasn't allowed them.
I can almost guarantee my life. This will be a little portion of the One Show in about five weeks' time. Yeah. Whatever happened to sweatbands? Because I tell you, I think they're listening to this show.
Well, we think they are. God,
really?
Do you have more evidence?
On Wednesday, there was a reference to what they call the people who watch The One Show. And they don't call them teetossers like we do. A phrase we use quite a lot. They call them the One Showers.
One Shower.
Were they known as One Showers? Anyone who watched?
I've made a mistake. I made a little mistake.
I think One Showers would all have a flamboyant.
Okay.
That came out, and I was like, that sounds a little bit like teetossers, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that seems like an unusual thing to do.
You sound like a paranoid. Like you sound like you're just,
massively.
You know, going a little bit upriver.
I am so furious that Angelica Bell got that stint and not me.
Not you in a dress, as we've discussed, that would look gorgeous.
A big wig sitting there. Absolutely brilliant. I tell you what, though, I wouldn't be any worse than Kate fucking Thornton.
Oh, my God, she wasn't good. I have to, as I said, with my TV critic hat on for a minute, Jesus Christ.
So this is back to the magic.
The psychology of magic, which I think is an exhibition taking
place
in London.
And the note from the director was, Kate, just play dumb. No, dumber. No, dumber. Like, when we pretend to throw the ball, like, look around to see where the ball's gone, like a dog. Yeah. It's really stupid.
And this was one of those things where they sort of go, isn't magic special? Yeah. Well, here's how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell us how
Let's
it's
ruin the magic.
Done. Totally ruined.
Can you show me some kind of trick that might make me think I'm seeing something when I'm not?
I'm going to ask you to pick a card that you'll see in the deck. Are you ready? Yeah? Do you have one?
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that I know it's the Ten of Hearts?
How do you do that?
I wanted you to choose the Ten of Hearts, so I just had to show you this card slightly longer. Your brain's gonna pick this information more easily. And so you tend to choose this option.
I thought you weren't allowed to do that. I thought that
I
was.
Didn't think you were.
But there is a program my son's obsessed with on one of the streaming services, which I don't disapprove of him watching, frankly, because he's only 10. It's got lots of like assistants in tiny underwear. But John, I'll tell you where you can find it. But it's basically this guy just revealing the secrets supposedly of the magicians, and he's the masked sort of entertainer, and he doesn't sort of say who he is. I think he did reveal.
He was a big hit in the 90s, wasn't he? The secret magician.
This definitely looks like it's being made in the 90s, but I have a feeling it's like a new one that's been made recently. But yeah, for all your Bon Jovi video needs, it's right there.
There was the point of the film, because I thought initially, it's just a film about magic, but there was a sort of point to it because it was for helping children who only had the use of one hand.
That's
right.
About dexterity. Yeah.
Which is called homoplegia, I think, or something like that. So that was kind of what it was about, I suppose. But I wondered, it felt off the shelf, didn't it?
Yeah.
But they'd got Michelle Gale, who's in Harry Potter, and that's about magic.
They shoehorned that in. Yeah.
That was, you know, they did that thing of going, magic. I've got this from ages ago.
yes.
Is Kate Thornton still alive? Let's just use it anyway.
They did show her reacting to a card trick. It was a good card trick, but the way she reacted, it was like you know when you like lob a sausage over a dog's head? She really recoiled.
If you tap it, then everything does change. How do you do that?
You know it's a trick. The person opposite you is a magician. There's no other bit in your life.
And at one point she pauses and goes, oh, I know you're tricking me, and then something else happens. She's like, oh, damn!
If someone approaches you with a deck of cards, it's a guarantee they're going to go, and this is your card. Yeah. Don't be so surprised. Yeah. If you do want to see something that is really sort of unfathomable and sort of unbelievable, then... the fact that Kate Thornton is still on television after 20 years. Ta-da! How did they do it? No one knows.
I think your explanation is right. That was filmed a long time ago, yeah, and she is not any longer on TV.
Right, I really thought she was going to say, so, Kate, I want you to 10 of hearts pick a card. How did they do it?
It's baffling.
Worth noting as well, just to add to the big book, the sort of biography that we're making.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt likes magic at a wedding. Angelica,
oh, he does.
She doesn't like not knowing.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Matt. I love him. Like at the wedding, you know, we've got a magician there.
It's great, but I don't like not knowing.
That's right. She doesn't. She likes. No, no. Michelle Gale liked the mystery.
Yes, yeah.
But didn't like magic.
Angelica does not like not knowing.
Right.
I mean, just
she
become
likes
a magician.
Spoiling things.
Become a magician.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you know, that worry will leave you.
Yeah. Watch the scantily clad channel woman thing that you were talking about.
Yes, she there's could so just much to learn.
Yeah, Michelle Gale, I thought, was really lovely. They gave her a really strange intro.
She's great.
Where they said in the 3 years she was in EastEnders, she went from schoolgirl to Ian Beale's personal assistant.
I know.
What? I thought, what a fucking thrilling programme EastEnders.
What a ride.
Tonight's guest spent a fair bit of time in Walford.
Yes, as Hattie Tavernier. Now, in 3 years that she was on the square, she went from schoolgirl to Ian Beale's personal assistant.
I mean, do you remember the day that she became Ian Beale's personal assistant?
Where were you?
We all remember where we were. And then they said she then went on holiday to Norwich and never came back.
At Christmas in 1993, she went to visit a family in Norwich and she never came back.
I mean, way to make the programme sound the shittiest
thing. I'm also saying, and you got fired. You were not, your contract was not renewed.
You heard of Great Big Owl?
Yes, they make this podcast.
Yeah, but not just this podcast.
You're shitting me. Name some others.
Well, there's Trolled.
We had Luciana Berger and Gary Lineker coming on.
Oh, yeah, and there's Crime Club.
Did you get done for that?
Yeah.
There's The Fear.
It's a kid's show. They really, really scared me.
There's Always There.
Thanks very much, because I would never have gone down Howard's way had you not asked me.
There's Friends with Friends.
Shoving a funnel in Joey's mouth and Rachel pours fat down. Yeah.
And there's Ask the Nincompoops.
Kids ask us the questions they want answered.
That's for kids. We shouldn't have sworn earlier.
Bollocks.
Quick, play the sting.
Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And then they insulted, you know, they have this habit of insulting guests sometimes who come on. They showed a clip of her, didn't they? Because she was a pop star for a while.
Yeah.
And she had some couple of hits, one on Top of the Pops.
Very successful, yeah.
Yes, she was. A couple of clips on Top of the Pops there, and Matt said,
we've got to ask you about the singing. Why have you not carried that on?
Yeah.
I know.
Well, because of the fickle nature of the fucking music industry.
Yeah. What do you want me to say? Yeah. Because I'm older now, and I had kids, and I'm busy. Yeah.
Have you seen pop music? Have you seen how many fucking 41-year-old mothers are out there performing number one hits? just, Matt, let me tell you how many there are. Zero. Okay? And that's not because we don't want to do it. It's just zero. Yeah, that's the way it. Things work.
I just love how they ask so many questions to which they either, one, know the answer, or two, there is no answer.
Yeah.
It's just
it's
the tautology of the one show. You just keep going, why did you ask that?
I noticed this in the Fame interview. So they didn't, it was quite a tricky interview because the people who were in Fame, none of them have gone on to do anything else really. And Fame is, it's quite old piece of TV.
Very old.
Now, this is actually a follow-up from something which we've talked about on this show.
That's right, a year ago.
A year ago. Doesn't that put the fear of fucking God into you? Have we been doing this a year?
Over a year, but yes.
If we die at 75, we've spent a 75th of our lives talking about the fucking one show. And they didn't really have very many questions. It is difficult. And there were seven people there. And they got down this really awkward cul-de-sac where they were sort of going, it was quite a benign question where I think Matt said, and it was such a hit all over the world. And oddly, the cast of Fame, they got quite hooked on saying the word Israel.
You must have been getting letters from all sorts of different countries. So where were your fan bases?
Yeah, I don't even know. There were countries I didn't know how to pronounce. It was astounding. Yeah, it was really, I don't know.
Was it Israel? I think Israel.
It was 80 plus countries.
Right.
We were getting letters, you know, from anywhere the country, anywhere in the world that the show was, you know, the UK, of course. Italy,
Israel.
Israel, lots of letters.
But then one of them sort of went, something's happened here. We're all just saying Israel again and again. So
they were stuck.
I'm going to step in just to stop this because it sounds fucking weird. And he sort of said, yeah, well, I mean, what you have to understand is Fame was cancelled by the network. Normally in America, you'd do three seasons and then you'd wait sort of a year and you'd go into syndication.
Something about syndication.
And then with this being cancelled meant we could go into syndication almost immediately.
It's like, no, we were really happy it was cancelled.
For example, I was living in Texas and you could actually then see this on WGN and they're nodding away.
People would stay up and watch it on WGN from Chicago. My grandmother had to stay up till 1 a.m. to watch the shows.
No way. Yeah. This was a fucking disaster. They couldn't pull it out and everyone had to pretend that we understood a word
of this. There was another bit as well with that. When they said to now I only remembered because I used to watch the Kids from Fame,
yeah,
right?
Me too.
Big fan. In fact, I went to see the Kids from Fame at the National Exhibition Centre in Birmingham on the 1982 tour that they were talking about.
I am going to point out there are still tickets available for that Monday matinee she's put on.
I'm not going to that. So, but the there was a question to one of them who was in later series of Fame.
Yeah.
So I only really knew Danny and Doris and
they
Montgomery
weren't, like,
and
the things. Cool cast. Let's face
the
it.
The other ones at the other end of the sofa, not so much.
No Coco, so no
Coco, frankly, exactly. Yeah. But the other one. They said to him, what did they say to him? They said, what was your highlight, I think, of you know, being involved? You auditioned, you got on it later on, the cast were already there. What was your highlight? And he said,
Dancing with Gene Anthony Ray.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Dancing with the Dead One.
Dancing with Gene Anthony Ray.
Yeah.
Now, there was no... I knew who that was because I used to watch The Kids from Fame and my mind works like that. And I was like, oh, that was Leroy. Memories of Fame.
Yeah.
They didn't explain it.
Nope.
Well, no, they did. Then they put up a still and he was in the middle of the little group shot. He was there. It was the only time they referenced him. They didn't talk about the bad AIDS and they didn't talk about the fact he died, did they?
No. That was
not subjects you can tackle on the one
show. The other thing about that photo was these people, that was taken, what, 35 years ago, 40 years ago? I couldn't recognise any of them.
No.
So the fact that there's one who wasn't there, I couldn't pick up on that at all. I was like, please talk about the syndication again.
They did a weird thing at the beginning, though, didn't they? Where they had the whole title sequence from The Kids from Fame, where it was just one of the, you know, American
and they
TV
did a then and now thing.
Style shot with the name of the character, you know, F.R. Paul as Montgomery, that kind of thing. But then they cut in them. Some shots they'd shot of them into the title sequence of them, looking like they are now. And all that was an exercise in going, Jesus Christ.
It was horrible.
What happened to you?
I noticed in this bit, the way that they do the questioning on the one show, and in that one, which was one where they just couldn't get a foothold on what they were quite talking about, but they realised they had 3 minutes left.
There was a children's hospice, there was the show.
The common thing they kept saying on it was they would go, and what was that like?
What was it like?
And that's their overall question. As soon as I'd seen, and what was that like?
Yeah. What was it like?
It comes up every single time.
Oh,
and some people would say things like, when we were doing it, it was absolutely fantastic. And they'd go, right, fantastic. And what was that like?
What was it like?
You know, and people would sort of then go on to a second bit where they'd go, Yeah, I mean, it was very hard, and it was, and I was sitting there going, please, let him get to the end and just go, and what was that like?
What was it like?
And let's just keep doing this for an hour.
But I think the show Bible must just specify, like, if you're getting anywhere near, like, content of any textual substance, for God's sake, pull it back, pull it back, like, get them to back to the surface, like,
veer
no depth.
Off. Veer
there was a,
off.
There was a nice bit when Angelica Bell, at the end of all of that, you know, they said, the Kids from Fame show is on in Liverpool, and the tickets left for the matinee. And
thanks to that detective inspector who got the cast back together. What the fuck?
Hang on, yeah. So when we talked about this before, she's a police inspector,
yeah.
Big fan of Fame, and she used her detective skills, yeah. i.e. Google, to track them down and bring them to
Britain. No, she was the pen pal of the woman who played Doris.
Oh, that's right.
Because she bugged her relentlessly. This apparently is what happens. If you bombard a celebrity, eventually they have to become your friend.
So she's a policewoman,
yeah.
But a stalker.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. She could arrest herself after the show.
I mean, I think she works in the Wirral. There have been zero solutions to a number of murders, but on the
she
plus
did
side,
get the cast of Fame
there are
together.
Two Fame concerts happening, so not a dead loss.
And at the end of it, Angelica Bell just went, because she's still wearing at this point, obviously, all of her 1980s Fame
red sweatbands, yeah,
and just said, "Don't forget your leg warmers." And the look on Matt's face, because his had gone by then,
yeah,
it just,
and she raised her leg,
she raised her leg,
yeah,
and it was over a high heel.
I know,
it was all tangled up in it.
It was a bit much, frankly.
And Matt was just like, fuck off, we've had the fun.
Yeah.
We've had fun. And
yeah, we
over.
All know you're going to try and break the 3-week barrier. Just wind your neck in there.
And then we went on to what I think was the most boring film of the week.
Talking of reunions, here's Lucy with a very special reason to thank someone.
In an emergency, things move fast.
It was the film about Ryan.
Oh, Ryan.
Yeah, who came off his BMX.
Yeah.
And was reunited with the doctor from the air ambulance that saved him.
Yes, that was very dull.
I mean, God.
The hug was very awkward as well. I did enjoy
really
the awkward
was.
Hug.
They
trying to get a teenage boy to hug a full-grown man.
Yes.
Kind of, he doesn't know him. He's never met him.
Well,
really.
He's never met him because he was unconscious.
Yeah.
So it's just a thing where a man steps out of a helicopter and they say, right, give him a hug.
Hold it a bit longer.
Yeah,
a bit longer. Okay, now break. Break.
Yeah. He was dressed it up like it was a massive surprise or a treat for this kid.
Yeah.
Or indeed the doctor.
The other great thing is when the mum said to the doctor along the line, she sort of went, I mean, what you did was just so incredible.
And what was that like?
what you did was so incredible that you saved Ryan's life and everything. And he went, yeah, I mean, I do that every day to loads of people.
You just did an absolute amazing job. And you just think of it as just a daily job, and it's not. Saving people's lives is just incredible.
Well, I see it. It is a daily job. You know, people do all sorts of things that help people out all the time. This is just one.
Yeah.
I don't do this with everyone, though. This is weird. Why are we doing it now?
I could be saving lives now, but I'm really glad to be here. You know, I don't know why I'm here, but it's great.
Well done,
everyone. It was a funny one because the other thing is they showed the actual accident right at the start where Ryan was going along the pavement and he went into the road where he was hit by a car. And at no point did they say this was, by and large, not the driver's fault, this accident.
Yeah.
Ryan was on the pavement. He went between two parked cars, went straight into the road and was hit fractions of a second later.
And wasn't wearing a helmet.
And no one at any point said, it's a good reminder, actually, if you're out on a bike, you need to be aware and to wear a helmet.
They showed him riding his bike again in that kind of like that cutaway shot saying that within 2 weeks he was back on his bike and he did have a helmet on.
Yeah.
They didn't reference it at all.
Not at all.
Remit, road safety.
I'd like them to do one next week where they go, we've reunited all the people from the other side of that and you meet the driver who is largely blameless.
PTSD.
And you meet, the person who's like helping him through it. You meet his family who are going, we were terrified about being prosecuted.
Yeah.
You know, it would have just been absolutely, it was a funny thing not to have anything in that sort of went, got to be safe,
well,
guys.
Well, that's why it was sort of pointless. I mean, it's like so.
As if to
it
underline,
does happen every day.
But as if to underline the pointlessness of it, my favourite thing about this VT was when you cut back to Belle, who again, remember, is auditioning for the permanent job.
Yep.
Maybe Alex will love her baby so much she can't come back to work. and she they cut back to her. And I think it was actually Matt's link, but she kind of went, also, and you thought, she's going to say something really profound. She says, also, there are some really good people out there in the world, so...
Yeah!
There are some really amazing good people out there as well in the world.
Yeah! What?
How trite is that?
Yeah!
Absolutely.
And she said it with the kind of, you know, knowing zeal of someone's like, and I've noticed that, and hey, we should all think about that, okay?
Yeah, and until she said that.
Vote for me.
I thought we lived essentially in the Hunger Games. And I had no idea that if a child got injured, people would try and save
it. Helicopters who will do their job if paid.
There was staying with that same programme, though, then it went into Benjamin Zephaniah.
They
banished the cast of Fame. They disappeared.
Yeah, that was a magic trick. Kate Thornton came in. Oh, the Fame kid's gone.
Oh, my God, they're gone.
The grown-ups of Fame.
Loved Benjamin Zephaniah. I thought he was so good on this.
He's a breath of fresh air.
He wasn't he?
However, though, it did steer a bit into Me Too right at the beginning, didn't it?
The
kiss chase anecdote.
Yeah, I used to coerce young girls into kissing me in the playground.
Yeah, for my poetry when I was 42. She didn't mention anything about that.
I still go into playgrounds and I chase school children.
Yeah, what? No, not good stuff.
Angelica Bell wouldn't work on me.
Well, yeah, there was this game called Kiss Chase. Have you ever played it?
Never.
I thought you were going to strike up the game then, Benjamin.
But it used to have to use up a lot of energy to play it. And I had this thing, I'd go to a girl in the playground and say, you know, tell me your name. And she'd tell me her name. And if I'd say, if you tell me your name, if I make up a poem about you, can I get a kiss?
Very smooth. I wouldn't have been fooled by that.
The anger just simmering beneath the surface. She didn't react well to that at all, did
maybe
she?
I wouldn't have tried it on you.
But she kind of smirked as if to say, or would I?
It was a bit, because that whole kiss chase thing, you know, was a playground staple of, you know, when we were at school and so on. But because of the current climate, that you can see Matt do his usual, is this sensitive or not?
I can't really tell. The current climate, like, it'll be over in a minute.
Oh, yeah. We're going back, I'm chasing you out of here, I'm kissing your face.
There is something funny about that as soon as you say what I used to do was I'd, and the three words, trick, school, kiss. Terrible combo.
I did learn, though, now, because they talked about dyslexia here, but one thing I did learn this week from Monday, Matt Baker is dyslexic.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Tuesday. Stephen Graham was on,
that's
wasn't he?
That's right. Yeah.
So Stephen Graham, you know, Line of Duty and so on and so forth was on. I love Stephen Graham.
And his wife sounds like a controlling maniac who decides all of his career decisions for him.
Well, that was...
has to read his scripts for him.
Exactly. And this was the weird thing. So he said, I've got dyslexia. And my wife reads the script, right? So she chooses my roles.
Yeah, effectively.
Is she quite helpful with choosing roles and
extremely? Extremely helpful. She reads everything first. I suffer from slight dyslexia, and she's amazing. She reads everything, and she knows it by about the first 5 or 6, 7, 8 pages whether or not I'm going to do it. And sometimes she just says, "You're doing this," and I go, well, and she goes, yeah, you're doing it. It's brilliant.
She's the puppet master.
Yeah. And Matt said, oh, I'm dyslexic. My wife does that for me.
Yeah, because you're dyslexic as
well.
Yeah,
aren't you? My wife does the same for me.
Does she?
Incredibly helpful, yeah.
And I'm thinking, what? Your wife reads the scripts for
my God. That poor woman.
Surely not.
That poor woman.
Is she all right?
The idea that there's a script for the one show.
It's not the same, Matt.
Oh, my God.
I really enjoyed on Monday show. Actually, talking to Stephen Graham, did he give away some Line of Duty stuff?
Yes, by accident.
Yeah.
He didn't. Did he? How did I miss that?
Yeah, he did. They said that, well, it was in seconds because they said, we're going to talk about Line of Duty to Stephen Graham. Stephen Graham's here. Hooray. There'll be no spoilers.
Now we're talking about Line of Duty. Now, into the series watching it, we will have no spoilers here because the big finale is on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then they said, do people come up to you in the street or whatever? He goes, yeah, they all come up and they go, it's terrible when you got your throat cut.
People have been coming up to me in the street and it's been, you know, people have been very lovely and they've gone, oh, I hate the way you got your throat. Yeah.
That's right, he backed out of that.
And
one
he backed out of it by saying, nice tie.
But he mimed like a very explicit throat cut.
The next day on Wednesday show on the hour long, they had Vicky McClure in.
Oh, that's right.
And she was looking anxious through the whole thing. And she'd obviously been told, okay, Stephen fucked up.
Yeah.
Don't you do the same thing. Now, they had a bit on this, which was an attempt to do something a bit telly. So when they went for the interview with Vicky McClure, they walked into a set of a police interview room.
Oh, my God, that's brilliant.
It opened.
I know.
And it sounds good on paper.
Yeah.
And the execution, it was the worst thing I've ever seen on British television.
Wow.
Thank you.
One show interview of Vicky McClure.
Sorry.
So it's the final episode then of Line of Duty on Sunday. So we're going to ask you a few questions. On the record, the nation is hooked.
Yeah.
Can you explain to us, in as much detail as possible, how this happened?
Well, it was a gentleman called Jed Mercurio, actually, who's guilty of this. He wrote the scripts. Mm-hmm. He's a very clever man. Mm-hmm. The scripts got stronger. We got really good people involved, and then millions of people watch it.
When Matt's wife read this to him, he thought it was a great idea.
But you would have done. You would have looked at it and gone, this is great. And actually what happened was, because they were part acting and part not, they left her sitting there as they walked in. And they walked in looking very somber, like serious police people. They sat down and then he'd sort of go, right, start the tape. And they'd start the tape and he'd go, now, Vicky McClure, we want you to tell us everything you know about Life of Duty, Line of Duty. And she was sort of half playing along. And you know when people go, this is tanking. And so you sort of go, I'll pretend to crack up a bit. And that will make it fun. So she went, silence, silence. And she went, well, it's a television show on BBC One. And they'd go, have you got anyone that you're working with whose names you can say?
Oh, God.
And she went,
well, that's Martin Comston, myself and Adrian Dunbar having fun.
I'm already dying inside.
And it went on for 5 minutes.
Holy
five,
wow!
5 minutes. And it was, once they were in it, they were like, ah, we can't crack out of this now. And
no regrets. Plow on.
Absolutely. Or it would have been funny to really ramp it up. Start having Matt slapping the table going, fucking tell us! Turn the tape off! Right, jumping over the table. Knocking her to the floor. It would have been wicked. But once they were in it, they couldn't pull out of it. And it tanked so badly. So badly. Have a watch. Two-thirds of the way through Wednesday.
I'm going back now.
We do want to talk about H.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. H. Samuel.
Yes, it's where I used to work, yeah. It was my first job.
Ear piercing.
Yes. Yeah, I think I've still got the skills. I mean, I'm happy to...
When was the last time you pierced an ear?
When I worked at H. Samuel's, I was trained. I'd use an ear piercing gun.
Device.
A device, yeah.
It makes me... I feel a bit ill thinking about it.
To this top Salman Rushdie playing table tennis and being asked questions like, when are you chopping more on plastic? Why not plastic?
I'm super aware. I would never say anything bad about Vicky McClure because...
No, she's amazing.
Because when we're engaged, I don't want her to have a reason to back out.
Quite so. This could ruin the whole wedding.
I know. I can't. There's enough that I'm bringing to the table that's ruining it. I don't need anything else. But she was great, but what an embarrassing... Oh, what an embarrassing section.
He didn't ask, what was it like?
What was it like?
And so that brings us to the end of part one of this week's The One Show. Part two will be waiting for you tomorrow, like a mugger hiding behind a wall. Please do us all a favour and rate and review this podcast on iTunes or something, and why not follow us on Twitter as well, at The One Show, using a stamped addressed tweet. See you tomorrow.
What was it like?
Great Big Owl.
What?
Great Big Owl.
Stop saying that. What about Great Big Owl?
It's a family of podcasts.
Ooh. Who's in this family?
Well, there's Rule of Three. That's us.
There's Brian and Roger.
Hi, Roger. It's Brian.
There's The One Show.
There's nowhere else you would find a 4 or 5 minute film about pine martins.
Yes.
Without a sight of one pine martin at all in the film.
There's Barry and Angelos.
Oh, Gooch, 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 Gooch. Yeah. Remember that lovely one?
And there's Smirsh Pod.
Did you eat first? I think we know.
Well, I know. I don't know if I'd want to eat Lazenby.
Basically, look for Great Big Owl on your pod, what's it?
Good idea. Have we got a sting?
Owls don't sting.
Great Big Owl.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.